Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right. You know who else did a good job is the NFC South. My boy, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks beat the Detroit Lions. The New Orleans Saints absolutely destroyed the Dallas Cowboys.
Oof.
47 points in week one for the New Orleans Saints. 44 points in week two for the New Orleans Saints. The most points scored in the first 2 weeks of the season since the 2009 New Orleans Saints.
Oh, 2009. Ain't that the Drew Brees championship team?
Drew Brees team for sure. I assume it's the year they won the championship. I'm not sure. That would be the 2010 year.
It sounds like the year they beat the Colts.
2010 championship.
Because the Niners were good that following year. So, yeah, I think that's a championship team. I don't look at this team as a championship team, but that's two impressive weeks, though, for
sure. Yeah.
Did you – I didn't get a chance to – to pull back the curtain, I got to go back and watch a bunch of games from the NFL. But did you watch the Cowboys-Saints game? Like, how
was
that unfolding?
Yeah, it was stuck on my – no, they got their ass beat is how it is unfolding.
It was bad, bro.
It was stuck on my screen.
It wasn't even like
a bunch
of turnovers. It was just – the Saints would just go down the field and score.
They scored a touchdown on six straight possessions.
You could go play wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys.
Now listen to me.
Gracious.
They didn't score on six straight possessions. They scored a touchdown on six straight possessions. The game, it felt like, was never close.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara, they made him look like Barry Sanders.
So the way my screen was set up, the Cowboys were up on the left side. Mm-hmm. I got the 49ers on the right side, and then right below it is the Raiders. I'm locked into those two games.
What was the other game?
Bucks Lions.
Oh, that's a good four.
It's a good screen, but it was a good screen until the Saints went up 30-0, and I tried to add the red zone to it because there's four other games going on, and YouTube, sorry ass, wouldn't let me.
Oh, it can't
possibly be that hard. Why is YouTube making this so difficult?
You should be able to tap out of games.
Bro. Yeah, it wouldn't let me remove that game, so I wound up seeing every touchdown, and there were a lot of them that the New Orleans Saints, no, they just beat their ass. That's all they did.
We might have been wrong, and I was spearheading the movement. We might have been wrong about the NFC South. Tampa Bay, that's a big-time win by them. Going
absolutely
into Detroit, winning
absolutely
that game the way they did. Shout out Baker Mayfield and those guys. That's a big-time win.
Yeah, that game was a fight.
And then New Orleans handled business in a major way against a team that I was impressed with after week one. I thought Dallas looked really good week one. But yeah, not so much in week two in their home opener. Did you see
Alvin Kamara scored four touchdowns in that game?
Did you see they were doing a second line outside of Jerry's World? They had the trombones and everything. The Saints fans was out there doing a second line.
That's terrific. That's amazing. You know what was...
Oh, man, let's go.
You know what was equally as funny about that game is the second it ended, I opened Twitter, and there was Jerry already talking to the entire media contingent. I don't even think Dak was off the field yet before Jerry was talking to the entire media contingent there at that game. Hell, it's early. I didn't expect that. All right, Jerry.
Do you, once again, after last week, even though I was impressed with their performance, I still didn't feel any different about the Cowboys. Do you feel any different about them after 2 weeks?
Yes.
But remember.
So what I'll say is, like, I thought last week, like, all right, that was a solid effort, all sides of the ball. Like, that was good. That was pretty impressive. This week it was like, well, that's not impressive at all. They got absolutely run over by Alvin Kamara, and they don't have a run game.
Oh, I mean, that's what. But that's why I asked the question.
I'm beginning to think my prediction about Ezekiel Elliott might be wrong.
But that's how I asked the question, because I didn't think. I thought they were they one of the four out. I think they were the four out. I had
the Cowboys.
Yeah,
yeah, you did. That was the big reveal. Is you had the Cowboys.
I just don't think they have enough outside of those three. I don't know if they have enough
is
playmakers.
Micah the third.
Micah's the third.
Okay.
Dak, Micah, and CD. Those are blue chip talent guys right there.
Offensively, they might be cooked.
Well, is it offensively or is it their run game?
Offensively, Brandon Cooks is not a number two receiver in 2024.
Well, yeah, I'm not seeing it. Or I should say,
you better make a star then.
Or I should say, no, I just didn't see this happening this early.
You don't need to say
the
this.
Saints. They came into my world with this Jerry's world, and they put a hurting on us. And you know, this is tough to see because I just want to win a Super Bowl so bad. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Kyle Shanahan, you got any thoughts?
Wait, I can't.
Come on, man. I'm throwing you logs out here.
Well, when you see, you know, the Cowboys game and stuff, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, the team, they're usually ready to play, and they just weren't ready to play, and that's just it happens, and you know, and stuff, and you know, Brock, I mean, I thought we moved the ball well, but you know, it's tough when you see those games, you know, and stuff.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I got him. That's what Jesse called. Jesse called for it. What am I going to say? No,
is the breathing, bro.
I'm going to say no.
No, I get it. Okay, you're a man of the people. Okay, I get it. Yeah, impressive win for the Saints. Impressive 2 weeks for the Saints. Impressive start to the season for Alvin Kamara. My goodness.
I'm looking at the NFC South now, though. Looking at the NFC South, and we still
two very different types of games. By the way, the Bucs and the Lions, and the Cowboys and Saints.
I still the team I thought was going to win the division. See him tonight. Falcons, we'll see him on Sunday night.
Falcons win tonight. The NFC South can become a real division finally.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's happening. Atlanta's the team I don't buy.
I'm not mad at you.
I reluctantly.
That was tough to watch last
week. I reluctantly thought the Bucs couldn't win the division a fourth time in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I gave into peer pressure from you two and went with Atlanta. Well, and I hedged my bet a little bit by saying I disliked the Rams and they were my plus one and I want to get the Bucks back in there. But the team that I was wrong about was the Saints. There ain't no way around that. Like, I didn't, even two games into the season, like, you don't fall into 44 and 47.
Right.
Like, that's something. Now, whether they do that all year or not, that's an entirely different question. Derek Carr is a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe some questions about how much Alvin Kamara has left in the tank. Well, there weren't any questions about that yesterday. There are a lot of really good components to two of these teams. I need to see it a little bit from Atlanta. I'll be really curious what this game against Philadelphia looks like. This could be a tough loss for either one of these two teams. Probably more demoralizing for Philadelphia if they lose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe not demoralizing. I mean, they did
if
get out
Philly
of
it. If Philly lose, the Sirianni stuff's going to get louder and louder and louder, I think.
Well, Sirianni was all smiles after week one.
I'm about to say, if they win, Sirianni
stupid ass look on his face. Man. Unbelievable. But yeah, shout out to both of those squads. Baker was good, kind of composed, found Goodwin out there.
Were you locked in on that game?
No, like, it was on and I could see it. But the Raiders and 49ers were playing close games at the exact same time.
I was watching that one. The Lions had opportunities to win it, but Jared
they
Goff
did
not look good in that one.
He kind of,
the Jared Goff that people kind of like talk about, like to discredit him, showed up in this game.
You know what Goff had yesterday? He had the Kenny Caraway, Dak Prescott line, where you feel like he put up a lot of yards, but the mistakes wound up killing them.
Mm.
And those yards obviously wind up being meaningless.
They got down the field multiple times in the fourth quarters, just they
never
nothing. Capitalized. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and it with nothing.
Interesting. That's a tough loss if you're the Lions. You know, you're at home. You got a team like Tampa Bay that, you know, you want to be able to get a good win under your belt, back-to-back good wins to start your home season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Is Detroit – I ask you guys. I don't think so. I would say that first. I don't think so. I think they're still one of the top teams in the NFC. Are they looking a little funny right now? I mean, Rams game.
No.
The Rams, what we know of them now, they pushed you like that?
Well, that's okay.
Or do we feel differently that's okay. about the Rams?
No, it's just – like the Vikings push the Niners, it happens.
Yeah, I don't.
Vikings might be better than the Rams.
I don't.
Got their ass beat yesterday.
The Rams are done. But I don't think week one was any indication on what the Lions are. And I think Bucks beating the Lions is more about the Bucks than says anything about the Lions.
I agree with that.
Like, I think the Bucks are actually good now.
Hey, and another thing,
I'd watch the Lions a little bit. I'd watch them. Yeah. But
okay, another thing. I've said that I'm not going to give full credit. I'm not going to bury Horowitz because I didn't jump off the ledge and say it. But Arizona might be a little dangerous.
Yeah, there's something there.
They might be a little dangerous, bro. They might be a little dangerous. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I want to say that. I want to say for sure. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. But I think that's not an easy game for anybody that's playing against Arizona, especially early in the season. I think Arizona got some things cooking where they're a tough out. Or they can smack you around like they did the Rams.
We'll get to that because there was a funny note about that game that I just genuinely find hilarious how that game unfolded. Mm-hmm. First, quick question. Talking about the South, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Baker, Godwin, Mike Evans. And then let's go. Give me 2 seconds. Give me Carr, Kamara. I don't know who to pick as the third of their trio.
Might be Shaheed.
Is it?
Might not yet, but it might be.
Which trio is better?
Name the first one again.
Baker, Godwin, Mike Evans, and then
I'm gonna go with that one first until I see otherwise. But I smell what you're cooking.
Derek, yeah,
this Saints one and this new offense they got might be something.
Yeah, Kamara is such
a... Kamara is good. Kamara is a good, great running back.
Yeah. When Kamara is... because he's been dealing with injuries, and mm-hmm. it's just been a tough situation the last couple years, you kind of forget about him. But when he's...
29.
When he's right...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He is a yep. game changer.
Yep.
Mm.
100%. Okay, we'll step out. We'll come back. I want to get to your... what you just said about the Cardinals. There's a funny note for the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Those who were watching the end of the Raiders and 49ers and all that stuff on a multi-view. There was a very funny note about the Cardinals game, or at least I found it humorous. So we'll touch on that. James Hamm coming up at the top of the hour. It looks like the Kings got a couple of things going on this week. Just saw something about Boogie Ellis being signed. Of course, we know that there's some veterans coming through for a workout. We'll talk with James about that. We got game number 10 of the now top 10 games of the Kings season. We started at 20. We're down to 10.
And this one's justifiable. I wonder if people object to this one at all.
I think I figured it out, because when I saw it, I was like, okay. Then I looked at the box score, and then I was confused, and then I watched it, and I think I know why you selected this one, and I think it was a reach.
Oh,
but we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it, because maybe out of the moment, I'm not appreciating it, but we'll talk about it. It's an interesting one. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Tell me if this is a reach, or you know I'm off on this one at all, because you guys are far superior in this one.
Obviously,
are they making Jacob the one? Are they pushing him to like because it feels like in the last month, all of a sudden, Solo just looks like a placeholder. The real showdown is Jacob and Roman.
Yep. Mm. It feels like my guess is, and I'm saying this because I see it. Mm. I don't see this in Solo, but I see it in Jacob. He looks like Umaga.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the people who are running the company now were running the company then, Umaga might have been the one. Mm. Or he... If he wasn't the one, because this was probably peak Cena time, he would have been Cena's biggest nemesis. Mm. And everything about the way Jacob moves, his intensity, everything looks like Umaga.
Solo is Alex Smith. Jacob Fatu is Patrick Mahomes.
That's probably the perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And Solo's growth over the last year has been phenomenal. It's been really, really good. He's gotten good on the mic. His facial expressions are better. He looks very, very believable as the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you already see little things with Jacob where it's like,
He's just got that presence. So you could tell like when he's there, it's like, all right, yeah, it's a moment.
He's like Roman. Roman stood out in the Shield because he had an aura to him. Mm-hmm. Jacob has an aura.
Yeah. And then he gets to moving, and it's like, oh, this dude.
Jacob is legitimately frightening. Like, there's only a handful of guys that I've ever found. Like, this person is legitimate. I thought Luke Harper was. Mm-hmm. Luke Harper's original Wyatt family character I thought was legitimately scary. Mm-hmm. And that's the vibe that Jacob Fatu has.
And like I said, it's not – I don't think this is – inside wrestling or anything. You just watch. You see how what they did the other day in the cage. Roman versus Solo.
Yep.
It was
and how the crowd
Roman
react.
And Jacob that was like, oh,
crowd went crazy.
And Solo was right there.
Yep, pulled and he was the one who pulled Jacob out. And said, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
And the crowd was pissed because they wanted that moment with Roman and Jacob.
When do you think that unfolds? Is that a WrestleMania thing?
I think we're a ways away from that because I do think you have to deal with Roman and Solo first.
It feels like but it does feel like a Survivor Series Royal Rumble type deal.
Yeah, that could absolutely be a Royal Rumble type match. Mm-hmm. But let's kill our fun here for a second because this does pertain to this week. Sean McVay said Cooper Kupp is expected to miss, quote, an extended period of time and is a candidate for injured reserve. Sean McVay just said that during his Monday press conference. Again, Cooper Kupp expected to miss an extended period of time. Of course, it's the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers coming up this Sunday. We'll take that opportunity to get back into football because, you know, we could talk about wrestling and the bloodline all all day
long.
It's
a Monday. It's a Monday.
Yes, indeed.
Football Monday.
Indeed. And you can connect with us on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Elk Grove Kia, 8480 Laguna Grove in Elk Grove. It's a 5-star rated dealer. We're thrilled to have them here with us. So hit us up, 916-909-1320 on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. You mentioned, as we head into this NFC West matchup with the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams, I've had my feelings about the Los Angeles Rams. Out of respect for you and your team, I'm going to try to hold off on telling you exactly how I feel. And I'll go
full
Kenny Caraway. I'll respect my opponent. This is a tough team. I don't care how many guys are on injured reserve. This is a tough squad.
We're talking about true champions.
I was going to say real quick, you low-key put the vibes bad when you're playing all that Prince on Friday.
Don't think I didn't think about that on Sunday afternoon.
How on earth is playing Prince?
It's the vibes.
Bro, it's Minnesota.
Yes.
I don't understand.
He played it in Kenny's face.
I don't understand.
And when I realized, I said, no. You can't do that.
You realize on like the second verse of the second song, you recognize that, right?
Better late than never. I'm just trying to strike it.
How many they win by, Prince? Oh, my bad. That was uncalled for.
It was absolutely uncalled.
That's my bad.
This is disrespectful. It's not disrespectful.
I don't even see how it's disrespectful. I'm just a big fan of Prince.
Look, now you're rocking with Ramsey. Prince was great vibes on Friday.
Prince is always great vibes. Maybe this is why the 49ers can't win in Minnesota.
We should show some respect. We always show respect to Prince.
You imagine Prince made Sam Darnold a good quarterback?
Crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, look, no Kendrick, no YG, none of that this week. Nope.
Good
no
luck
Snoop.
With that. Good
no,
luck.
None of that.
Good luck with that, buddy.
No Mustard. Nope. That's my song, too.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you leave at 4 then? Because you're going to be miserable from 4 to 7 if that's the case. You said a moment ago that Arizona might be something to watch for here. Mm-hmm. There was a very funny moment as some of those 10 o'clock games were, most of them were wrapped up. I don't think the Raiders game had quite finished yet. And there were 3 1 o'clock games, 1:25 games.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals started the earliest. They were the actual 1 o'clock games. The other ones were 1:25. Marvin Harrison had 2 touchdowns and 100-plus yards before kickoff of the other 2 games.
He was crazy. I did see that.
That was ridiculous.
There was a stat out there. I believe, if I'm not misremembering, he's the first to have 4 catches and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter as a rookie since his dad.
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, wow. There's a stat. The stat is real, but I don't know if I'm misremembering the yards, the catches, and the touchdowns. But, yeah, it's the first since his dad.
That's incredible. He had 4 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I swear all of that was before 1:25.
That game was over quick.
Quick.
You knew it, too.
They put up 21 straight before you even got to midway the second quarter.
They smacked. And I was
And the
I was
Rams answered that with a field goal. I'm serious. 21 straight points, and they answered with 3.
What was the view from all the apartments in the end zone? All the townhouses.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Marvin Harrison scored, and you can see some dude taking out his trash.
Oh, it was trash day at the
it was trash day. But yeah, I was just following that score because I didn't. It was some dad stuff I had to do. Reset a baseball game. I didn't get a chance to really like sit down and watch the games on Sunday. And then once the Niners lost, I was like, whatever. Let's go look at some houses. That's what we did at that.
No, that's what people of Kenny's stature do. They just go randomly buy.
What
houses.
Is that?
Did
yeah,
I say, let's did go I look buy houses. No,
you,
I did not say.
You just
I said,
go look at who goes and looks at houses.
I never done window shopping for a house in my life.
I've never done
anybody
that.
Anybody new model homes go up. You go in there and see just what they look like. You want to see? That's typical practice. What are we talking about?
The $1 million house looks great right here,
sir. I have a home. Like, what are you talking about? I don't
go in there. You get new and ideas for designs, things of that nature.
Look, don't. You're just on a different level than the rest of us.
I'm grateful for the apartment I live at right now.
Many people do that. Many people do that. What are we talking about?
Just
I go window shopping like for maybe like going to the mall, go look at some like jerseys or something. You like, hey, you want to go look at a house?
Let's go.
They have model homes. We're just going into the model homes, see what they look like.
Are they on your property or
No, they're not on. I don't have. I just got the regular house. What are we talking about?
Regular for you, apparently.
Maybe I'll go window shopping at Costco, get some samples, but all right, big baller.
No, let's go look at houses. Yeah. All right, buddy.
They're a model home.
Don't apologize.
Maybe
like,
this show
you?
Isn't for me. I don't know.
They're model homes. You get an idea of like, oh, okay, we could do this in our living room and, you know, all the room. Oh, maybe carpet here. Like, this is great. That's all that is.
I think they've nicknamed you the one percenter. Like, I'm starting to see that around here.
You're definitely not a one percenter. Definitely not.
If I look at a house, I'm just going to Redfin. Like,
what Kenny's describing, yeah, buddy, it's called HGTV. Ever heard of it? That's where us regulars go to get ideas.
You even got a premium Redfin account because you've offered it to at least four general managers in the past.
I got offered.
Never Luke Walton, amazingly, but everybody else.
Got offered to Florida Gators coach now, too, it seems like.
Oh, he ain't even going to need Redfin. That dude going to need an Airbnb any second.
But
I'm telling y'all, Napier's in Florida suck.
But I say all that to say I was just following along and it went from 0 to 100 real quick with that Cardinals game. I was like, oh, I think it was 7-0. Maybe I saw a clip of, you know, Kyler Murray making a pass and all of a sudden 21-3.
Yeah,
so,
it's quick.
What?
Lightning quick.
Beat the brakes off. But I will say this in regards to the 49ers. I do mean it. I'm not just saying it. You're going to get the best Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. What that is, I don't know. Maybe the best Rams isn't good enough to even get within two touchdowns. I don't know. But I know you're going to get the best version of the Rams, most prepared version of the Rams on Sunday.
I just didn't understand the idea of a guy who you have just repeatedly said is the best player in professional football. He's gone. Oh, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I can't wrap my brain around that thinking. The two don't go together.
Made perfect sense by you.
If he's the best player in football and he's just gone, no matter what position he plays, that has to have some sort of impact on your team.
Right?
Shouldn't you be okay, though, like when the other side is missing their top two receivers? Like you saw the San Francisco 49ers. You missed the CMC. Like the other team is missing players, too.
Oh, you mean shouldn't the Niners be okay? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. You're missing CMC, but like the Rams are going to be
missing Cooper Kupp.
They're missing Cooper Kupp and Puka.
How he feels about Puka. So
look,
yeah, actually, can you suit up on Sunday?
I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I mean, this'd be a tough loss if the Niners lost this one.
Be bad.
Because of what you're talking about. Like they're not at full strength. They're already trying to figure out how to deal with life without Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
They're reeling a little bit.
Yep.
I do believe you're going to get their best effort, but. Come on, you got this. Like the top flight teams bury teams in these situations,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm going to be looking for the 49ers to do on Sunday.
It's an overreaction. It is 100% an overreaction. You could bury the Rams this week.
Yes,
like you really could. It's not inconceivable. Again, it's a bit of an overreaction. Next week, 0-3, week 3, you could bury them. And I think one thing that might have Rams fans nervous, one, in addition to the injuries and the fact that they're 0-2, is the 49ers are coming off a loss, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming off, again, we could argue the merits of wins, losses, what you should do, bad losses, all of that stuff. They were favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason they were favorites. And they got picked apart by their former backup quarterback. And they're likely going into this week 3 game on a hyper focus,
mm-hmm.
knowing you've got a divisional opponent coming up, knowing you've got that coach coming up and that team coming up. And I think the 49ers, look at that, they're 0-2 right now. We could send them to 0-3.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I was a Rams fan on the flip side of things, RIP flip side, I would not be feeling good. I'm like, damn. Niners coming off a loss, they're going to be pissed. And we're in a vulnerable state with the injuries we're going through.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's not going to be okay. And then we already know with the placeholder, like, I'm just going to say 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at 40,000, 49,
mm-hmm. yeah.
50, 60,000, 49. I mean, it's going to be a tough, tall ask for the Rams to win that game on Sunday. But if I was Kyle Shanahan, I'm saying you can't sleep on these guys. They are going to be – Sean McVay is going to drop his best game plan in this situation and try to have these guys ready. Matthew Stafford's going to try and have these guys ready.
Kyle's conference call is coming up at 3:30. I was just thinking, like, if Sean McVay talks, some of these other coaches have talked. Where's Kyle? Kyle is at 3:30 today. If anything pressing comes out of that call while we're talking to James, of course, we'll bring that to you. I don't imagine anything will. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of questions about Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a lot about the performance of the offensive line yesterday. Before I forget, should have done this at the top of the show. It's 9:16.
Yeah.
And it's Will Z's birthday.
Hey,
so happy birthday to our guy, Will Z. Very appropriate. Our man was born on 9/16 day, man. So happy birthday to our man, Will Z.
Yes, indeed. Hey, what you guys think about that Bengals-Chiefs ending?
I feel like you're asking about the pass interference call. It was the right call. I mean, whether we like it or not, it was. Like, you can't get there early like that.
I don't think that was a play. I don't think that was pass interference.
How was it not?
I think he made a play for the ball, and I'm always believing.
But he hit the receiver.
Yeah, there's contact that was made for sure. But
that's pretty strong contact, though. No,
but I also think that in that particular situation, making a play on the ball, the defensive back should have just as much right to go after the ball as a receiver. So, like, usually when you see those PIs, it's the guy not making a play on the ball, just holding the receiver, or making contact. They're not going after the football in that respect. That one is almost like to a certain degree, a jump ball. And he's making a play on the ball. He's not just hitting him just to hit him. I think that maybe that's not how it's ever called or ever looked at, but I think that's not necessarily fair. The defensive back should have just as much of a right to go after the football, whether they're trying to catch it or knock it down, as the receiver.
Okay. I guess, like, I didn't feel that way. To me, it was pretty clear. He got there early. He affected the receiver's ability to make the play on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what pass interference is. Now, if there's a flaw in the rule of pass interference, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you were just describing right there. But throwing the flag for what it was, yeah, I didn't really have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was, I really didn't even think it was a 50-50 call. I thought it was, he clearly hit him early. And I think that's all that this boils down to. If he had hit him a split second later with the ball at least closer in the vicinity, I think that argument you just gave would have held a lot more water.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the rule of what pass interference is, I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got to that final play.
Mm. Yeah.
Tough look for the Bengals.
They had an opportunity to get that win, and who knows what it will result in, but something that possibly could have got them back on track. Now they're steering it 0-2 and continuing the spiral. That's a tough loss. Man, I'm not even talking about just that play. The way they played in that game, they played well enough to win that game.
Played well enough
and
to beat Kansas City.
Not
absolutely.
Being able to close it out. That's brutal.
Baltimore wasn't on the final play of the game, was it?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
So they've won the first two games on the final play of the game?
Yeah. Baltimore was likely in the back of the end zone. The toe on the line.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. That was the touchdown, not the convert that we touchdown. Never got. That yeah. We never
they
got would, the 2-point conversion.
They would have went.
That's right. They would have gone for two. Yeah.
They could have kicked the field goal to tie it.
Yep. Okay.
Mm.
Good stuff right there. So, well, is anyone asking, are there problems with the Kansas City Chiefs? Boy, they've been pushed to the limit by their AFC rivals the last 2 weeks.
I think the stat was Mahomes' 151 yards was like the lowest he's ever had in a win. He only threw for 151 yards yesterday.
Yeah, 18 of 25, two touchdowns, two interceptions.
You want to talk about styles making fights? The Bengals, for whatever reason, just know how to play against the Chiefs. It doesn't always result in a win or whatever. They just do, though.
What did Joe Burrow say? We're built to beat. I think he told Travis Kelce that. We're built to beat you guys.
They might be.
I think the Chiefs are 4-3 after that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, at some point, you have to actually beat them.
They did.
Well, they have, yeah. They got to the Super Bowl.
They beat them in the AFC Championship game. They beat them in a regular season game late in the season and stuff like that.
They lost last year. No?
Yeah, like, so I don't know if this is completely accurate, but now I think they're like 2-2 in their matchups, right?
I think I saw yesterday they were 3-3. I think the Chiefs are now up 4-3 now. So they're about even. After
like it's just
in the Joe Burrow era, that's their record?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, that's Pat Mahomes' record against them, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you.
I don't know what it is. It's confidence.
But is that really built to beat someone if you're...
I think the way they win, Mahomes looked like they got the win, but Mahomes on his first interception where he threw it to the linebacker, like it was kind of like, what are you doing? It's like, yeah, he doesn't make those kind of mistakes usually. I think they have a scheme that, I mean, the Chiefs still won.
Well, what is it?
And it was going to affect him, then it's that.
Like, what is it?
I think, but to a certain, like, I know... It doesn't mean you always win, but that team may have been constructed to specifically beat the Chiefs, and they get the pass rush on them. They can get to them before. They have whatever they got in the secondary and the linebackers to kind of, like, Pat doesn't always see it against the Bengals like he does everybody else. And then there's a level of confidence as well that those guys have. Joe Burrow has going up against Kansas City. I don't know if right now they are, but when they had Mixon and the two wide receivers,
mm-hmm,
you know, they had the weapons to go up against them on the offensive end. And it worked a few times.
Boy, that Joe Mixon absence looks tough right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks.
Joe Mixon, it looks like he averted disaster last night.
Oh, man.
That's that little hip drag. It didn't get called either, but.
I know how you get. You just alluded to this. Did you watch that game at all last night?
Yeah.
I was kind of locked into that one.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One, Caleb Williams is a good quarterback. He's also he's a rookie. Like, come on, man.
I feel like people are jumping out the window
he's
with that guy.
He's a rookie. Like, you see it. Like, you can see.
He got beat up in that game, too. That's the other thing. Like, he took some hits.
He did. He's a rookie quarterback. But, like, you can see it with him. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be just fine.
Yeah,
I know you hate black quarterbacks as much as you hate black coaches, but he's going to be, I think you hate black dads. I think that's a reference to like a few years ago, but
don't do that at all.
No, he hasn't like looked stunning, but it's like, oh, okay, I see it. Maybe the Bears aren't what people thought they were. And it's going to take some time.
Your defense is the truth.
Maybe.
The issues with Caleb, I don't
know. CJ and Nico are the truth. That was the thing that stood out last night. Mm. That combination of CJ Stroud and Nico Collins is the one.
The issue with that I have with Caleb is the same thing. I talked about it earlier. Is like being able to deliver from the pocket. And the throws are so off. When he has to sit in the pocket, they're so off.
Your assessment right now, 2 weeks in, is that Caleb Williams is going to be a bad quarterback?
No, that's not my assessment. I'm saying if I'm going to label him, like right now, I'm undecided. I'm not labeling him anything. But if he's going to be the quarterback that people think he can be, he has to fix that. And that was a problem in college. Like it's a problem that has been the issue when he can. You know, move around and do it. Nobody does it better almost than when he can move and on the run and do all that stuff. But he's not going to be able to always do that at the NFL level. He's got to be able to deliver from the pocket. And the throws are so off. They're not even close when he's sitting there in the pocket.
Mm.
And that's concerning. Hmm. I'm going to, just because I like him and I want him to succeed, I want the Bears to succeed. Shout out to my guy, Allen, the Bears fan. I want him to cook. I'm going to just assume that he's going to get that fixed and he'll get more comfortable and get more accurate in the pocket. But it kind of feels like I haven't seen it a lot. in his career, college, preseason, and now. The throws are just so off. Hmm. Like, you saw the one late in the game where it was the back shoulder. Mm-hmm. It was 6 yards to the left.
I understand.
And he had, like, a handful of those. Some of the plays on
the
Think about this. Some of the plays on the sideline, he's throwing down the sideline. It goes deep into the bench. Like, it's not even close.
I don't think he had that many bad throws last night. He did, and the one you're referring to late was tough, and he couldn't get them in a position to win that game, like really threatened to win that game.
The first step for him, and he did a little bit of this yesterday, which is a good sign, is just hit the little simple crossers that are right there in front of you from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job of that yesterday, hitting that, getting into the playmakers, and letting them do what they had to do there. So that's a good step, and just keep building on that. I'm rooting for him because I want him to be successful. But
do we want to apologize to the Packers for writing them off so early?
No.
What do you mean? They're 2-0.
Do you want to apologize? They're 1-1.
They're 1-1. Either way, their season's not over though. Their season's not over. I think you guys wrote them off way too early last week.
I wouldn't go too far. I'm still neutral on the Packers.
Where's your Brett Favre jersey today?
Don't do that. I'm a Bart Starr guy, all right? I'm a Bart Starr guy.
Josh Jacobs had a hell of a day yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. Nah, jersey's still out on the Packers.
You want to talk about Anthony Richardson? How do you feel about him?
Yeah, that was scary.
He's feast or famine a lot of the time.
Go ahead. Yeah, wow.
I think he's a hell of an athlete.
Sound like Paul.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't like Anthony Richardson. Don't like Caleb Williams.
I got one of Paul's drive-by texts earlier today.
Anthony Richardson. That's my boy. I like Caleb, but I like Anthony. That's my boy.
What drive-by did you
get? He just hit me with a, you know your boy should retire, right?
Oh, all right, yeah. Well, I think it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Nah, he's going to be back this year.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm sure we could deal with that stuff tomorrow. We'll come back. We'll talk a little football with Hammer. But we got game number 10. We're now into the top 10 games of the Kings season. Game number 10. What is it, and why on earth did Kenny Caraway pick this one? I think I have an idea. We'll break it all down for you. Get you caught up on some Kings news that happened as well. Of course, we've got Monday Night Football. Steelo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. It is the home of the Humidor, where you can get the finest whiskeys and the finest cigars as well. Sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. We're back with more on ESPN 1320. Cop and Fox ones.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think they're going to be my basketball shoes. But for sure. Definitely copping some Fox ones. They need to holler at your boy, man. Come on, man. Let me try out a pair.
Who's they?
The powers that be. Let me try out a pair. Let me test them.
Okay. Man out here begging for shoes, knowing you can just get them from Phenom down. Let's get
Phenom had them phone posits out. I didn't press a button on those. Damn. Our guy Hung, he was at the Niners game. Didn't bring home a victory. Damn.
Wait, he went for the Niners?
He had to go for work.
Oh, okay. That checks. Oh, well. All right. Let's get Ramsey in here. Maybe Ramsey's shouting out Caitlin Clark or Asia Jones or something. What's up, Ramsey?
Asia Wilson, shout out real quick.
I always say Asia Jones. That was Kara's teammate in Connecticut.
I mean, hey, Asia Wilson, first woman to get to 1,000 points in a WNBA season. And for those that didn't see it, you've got to watch her post-game video. It was real. It was honest. And she showed her true feelings to the team and to her teammates.
That's what she is.
Mm-hmm.
That's at all times. Absolutely.
Anything else, Ramsey? No? Okay.
And they still need to be dealt with in these WNBA playoffs. You got to beat the champs to be the champs.
Hey.
I'm with you.
He's right.
I thought he was talking the whole time. But then I realized he was talking
about
that'd
Vegas. Be funny.
But he's the truth. They got a good win on, what was that, yesterday, right? When they beat Connecticut.
Yeah. Not only did they beat Connecticut, they beat the crap out of Connecticut. when those when Cincinnati and Kansas City finally came to a conclusion, I like to get over to Football Night in America. I actually really like that show. They had a multi-view with WNBA games. I'm like, oh, Vegas, check this out. They were all blowouts by that point. Aces were up quite a bit, and it was like, oh, I don't think I need to spend much time here. And I missed a lot of the 10 o'clock games because of the way my screen was set up. So let's go get caught up over here with Football Night in America. And so I didn't watch a lot of the W games that were on yesterday.
Yeah, the W I had to get.
Caitlin set another record yesterday.
What was
too.
It? The season total for assists or something like that.
She already set that one. She set, I think, the rookie scoring record. Mm. She beat Simone Augustus's old record. Of course, we're now in game 39 as the season comes to a conclusion. Simone played in 34, but still, that's what happens when seasons expand, records change. Yep. And Caitlin was able to add to her historic rookie season.
Yeah, good for Caitlin, man. It looks like
one of the great things we were robbed at is of how many records, rookie records, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese would have broke together this year.
Yeah, they've had two of the
because Angel rookies. Already broke a couple.
Right.
How many more would she have broken?
Caitlin would have been fun. Had a couple under her belt before last night as well.
That's right. So yeah.
Those two, a lot of hype. A lot of hype with those two. They've delivered. They've absolutely delivered with performance, with entertainment value. They've delivered, and they've set the stage for some of the other great rookies this year and to follow. So salute to them, man.
Did you see Georgia struggle with Kentucky?
I did. I said, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, that was. I was actually watching that game at the Limelight. Like, what the hell is going on up here?
Yeah, man. I said, I
it was enough to give Texas the number one spot.
Well, Arch was out there doing his thing.
He was.
Arch didn't waste no time.
It was here we go. That was basically what the Arch Manning Texas stuff is.
No time. But Texas looks great. Texas
they do.
Looks really good.
They do. Yeah, they do. All right, let's get into this. The top 10, James is going to be with us at the top of the hour. The top 10 games of the Kings season. Game number 10. We started at 20.
Yeah.
We're now at number 10.
Top 10 is here. And this one, look, going in, looking at it on paper, I was like, I don't know. But yeah. Then I watched it. Now, this is a good top 10 game right here.
Okay.
Kings at Hawks.
Uh-huh.
December 29th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings beat the Hawks 117-110. De'Aaron Fox. We start this off all the time, it feels like.
Yeah, he had 50 in this one. No?
No, he didn't have 50. Only 31. Only 31.
No, only
31 points, 8 assists for De'Aaron Fox. Domantas Sabonis, 25.
Triple double, right? Gotta be a triple double for Domantas.
No triple double. 25 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Malik Monk.
He must have had 40. That's why you picked this one.
No. 15 for Malik Monk. Trey Lyles with
40.
No. 19 points off the
bench. Okay.
This one.
I was confused at this point. I'm going to be honest because my first order of business, what game does Kenny have at 10?
Yeah.
Let me pull up the box score, see if it jogs the memory. Looking at this, nope. Doesn't do it. Pull the game up on YouTube. I'm watching the game, and I'm like, all right, I think I know what's going on here. Then I pulled up, like, the actual condensed version of the game. It was like, I need to watch this to get a true feel for what my guy was thinking here, and I think I figured it out.
The Kings were down 18-6 with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. The Kings were down 26-8 with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. The Kings were down 31-8.
Yeah.
With 3 minutes and 45 seconds to go in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they came back and won. And not only that, they got the lead to down 13 at one point at the end of the first quarter. They got it down to like 5 some point in the second quarter. All right, normal game. They went back down 18 going into the half. Trae Young was cooking. Jalen Johnson was cooking. DeJounte Murray, who I think I'm back in on DeJounte. Seen a couple interviews. DeJounte's maybe he was just wilding out for a little bit.
Is he still in Atlanta?
He's in
He's in New Orleans. Yeah, okay.
Maybe he's just
Maybe it was just Atlanta DeJounte I didn't like.
Yeah, maybe so. But I'm back in. I'm back in.
Or maybe it was just Atlanta Hawks I don't like.
Well, we don't like them.
I don't like any bird in Atlanta, apparently, because I'm not in on the Falcons like y'all are.
But yeah, I'm back riding with DeJounte Murray. But he was looking like damn Craig Hodges in the first half. Four three-pointers.
Yeah.
He was cooking. But
then
some point in the third quarter, rumor has it, somebody said something to De'Aaron Fox, and he just went off.
Hmm.
He started cooking. And the Kings, behind a 31-19 fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Come back to win this game 117-110.
Can I expand it a little bit?
Absolutely.
64-39 in the second half.
That was crazy.
Yeah, 64-39, yeah.
And came back to win this game. And I'd wish you tell the whole story in this one.
Okay.
Do you remember what game was before this game?
I do.
At Portland.
Yeah.
The Kings get blasted.
130-113.
Get blasted. And we're on these airwaves talking crazy. You know, this team, that was embarrassing, all this other stuff. We know one thing. They're going to come out focused against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down 31-8.
Correct.
To a certain degree, I don't think I'm speaking in hyperbole. The season was flashing before our eyes in this first quarter. We're like, yo, this team, they're done. They're done. And they find a way to come back.
You know what the funniest part? It's funny now. It's over. There's nothing we could do about it. The Blazers game. The game that the one before this Atlanta won. Mm. 77 points between Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. They scored 113.
Damn. I remember De'Aaron was hooping in that Portland game too.
There is this conspicuous by their absence. Kevin Herter got hurt in this one.
He did.
How'd Harrison do? Yeah, it was one of those. Right. It was one of those. So you had Herter get hurt. You had single digits from Keegan Murray. You had a terrible night from Harrison Barnes. Then you have the game from Portland the night before where no one is there. And it's like, all right, I guess this is life. We're just living and dying, but with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis do every night. And of course, Malik and Trey carried that second unit, which was really a game changer for them in this one.
And the other story to this game as well. Not that we revel in these things, that we love these type of things, but Harrison Barnes, you asked about him, 2 points,
yeah,
0 for 2 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3.
Yeah.
12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't hurt.
Nope.
Mike just said, no, we're not doing this. That was like the one, it feels like, the one and only time Mike Brown said, nah, we're not doing this with Harrison.
That followed a 35-minute, 9-point performance against Portland the night before.
Wow. Yikes. Kevin kind of got benched a little bit, too, before he got hurt.
Mm.
He wasn't – because he started that second half, and he only played 10 minutes in the game.
Go back again. I think a good move is to tie these two games together. Herter the night before, 2 of 8 in 21 minutes. Mm. That's in a game where De'Aaron played 38, Domas played 36, Keegan played 35, Harrison played 35, Kevin Herter 21 minutes in that one, excuse me.
So some other little tidbits from this game, just watching it. Trey Lyles was fantastic. We talked about his 19 points, 7 of 12, 4 of 9 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds as well. But you talk about saving the game. Malik Monk came in that first half, and not only could, like, these other guys not make shots. Nobody was hitting anything. King started off 0-8 from beyond the three-point line. And nobody could really do anything. And I shudder to think what would have happened in this game if Malik Monk didn't come in and play the way he did. He was phenomenal in that first half. Phenomenal. They had one of their highlight dunks, the Kentucky Connection, alley-oop Fox and Monk.
Yep.
Nasty little one-hand joint. That was fresh. So, Malik was fantastic in this game. Chris Webber was in the building.
Juan Toscano-Anderson was on the roster for this game. Anybody remember those glory years? Days? Hours? Yeah, once Scott Anderson was there.
Chris Webber was in the building courtside there sitting next to Mike Brown. It was good to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Ellis, DNP, CD mm-hmm. in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this.
Along with JaVale and Sasha and Juan Toscano Anderson. Yeah,
Sasha, we barely knew you.
Definitely did.
Think about this three-game stretch, these days, right? You lose to Portland the way that you did. Portland. Not only did you lose, you got beat down.
Mm-hmm.
You start this game off the way you did. You come back, you find a way to win, and then that leads into the Memphis game where you play like – one of your best games of the year. I think mm-hmm. that was game 20, maybe, of this whole thing. And the gamut of emotions that week with Sacramento Kings basketball.
Well, you could go back even a little bit further because you had a three-game winning streak. Then you got your ass kicked by the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
You had a quality win against Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Then you get roughed up by the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then comes the Blazers game where now you've lost three or four. And you have that horrible start to the Hawks game where you were able to turn it around and then, as you mentioned, carry that momentum, I guess, if that's such a thing, into that Grizzlies game, which leads us into the first game of January, which was a loss to the Hornets.
Oh, man.
And that right there, Kings fans, was the season.
That's it right there.
Not the games, mm-hmm. that range of wins, losses, emotions, up, down. That was the entire Kings season right there, the way we described it.
And even to add more context to that, it was losses against Portland and the Hornets.
Yeah.
When you think like, all right, you've done something good here, you can build on this. You lose, well, I guess the Blazers game was after a loss, but still, like, you feel like, all right, you got the Blazers coming up, get a win mm-hmm. to start this homestand. You lose that one. Atlanta, you come back and win, beat Memphis, feel good about yourself. You come back home to take on the Hornets. Think you can catapult from there, and you lose against the Hornets. And it's not just the losses. It's the losses against those type of teams.
Yeah, you said start the homestand. I think you meant start the road trip, as the Blazers, Hawks, Grizzlies were all on the road, and then they came back home for that Hornets game, which we all remember was so fun to be at.